This episode is brought to you by our free website startup from Church Media HQ. It seems that with many popular website platforms out there, you are paying them for the privilege to build your own website. There's very little, if any, service and support, and you're pretty much just on your own. At Church Media HQ, our team does all the heavy lifting by setting up and providing ongoing support for your church's website. And of course, there's no risk to you because we actually start the design of your website for free. There's no credit card required, and you only pay if you like what you see. So get our team started on your new website for free today at churchmediahq.com/web. That's churchmediahq.com/web. Well, today's guest is Dean Heasley of Burrow Business Labs right here in my hometown of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Dean has taught me a lot about websites, web presence in general, things like SEO, local Google business listings, social media, email marketing, and we talk about a lot of that in our conversation. Dean is really an expert, a master of his craft, if you will, and so I know that you are going to be greatly helped by my conversation with Dean, so let's get right to it. My name is Luke Clayton. I'm your host. Thanks for being with us, and welcome to Church Media HQ.
A, B, C, D, E, and F should all be some type of content that benefits the viewer. Mm-hmm. So a link to another blog post, a picture of a review from a client, something that is not promotional. Mm-hmm. And then GG, the two at the end, should be something promotional, like, hey, yeah, we've got this on sale or whatever. So the bottom line, the majority of the posts should be to the unselfish benefit of the viewer. Mm-hmm. And then maybe 10% of those posts are held back for promotional of the company.
Yeah, because that's the temptation that I fight, that anybody out there business is going to fight is, well, yeah, I just need to be promoting. But I mean, the way I've heard it is like, you know, jab, jab, right hook or something like that, where, yeah, you're just kind of getting it out there to provide value, remind people you're still there. And then, you know, every however many it is, you actually, hey, here's the sale. And again, to translate that for churches, the way I see the biggest misuse of social media is making it an announcement board. No, I talked about earlier how it's a good idea to use Facebook to get the word out about some type of an event or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if that's all you're doing, you know, then people are like, it just starts to become something that they don't notice. They just kind of don't care. But if you're giving them something value, and you know, in the church world, it's like, this is easy. Like, look up a Bible verse, you know?
Oh yeah. Right.
I mean, look up a Bible verse and post it. Yeah. Yeah. You got sermons that are preached every week. You have no shortage of content. But yeah, give them, yeah, hey, here's a verse to help you. Here's a quote from last Sunday's sermon, whatever. And then, yeah. Oh, and by the way, we also have the picnic coming up, which I keep talking about the picnic. The picnic sounds personally lame to me, but yeah, some people out there might like it.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. It should be limited in its self-serving, whatever you put out there.
Yeah.
But, and you know, it's funny you said content. I never really thought of this. Digital as a whole is so content focused, and a church's whole role is to create content. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they do. Yeah. They create content. So the church world, I think a lot of people feel like, well, digital's moving here and church is back here. But it's actually when the church plays into what digital wants, it's a perfect match.
Yeah, it really is.
Because the church creates content for mm-hmm. people to consume, and it should do that. And that's what digital wants, is that constant stream of content and interaction. And a church should be interactive. I mean, that's the whole purpose of discipling, is
yeah.
to interact with people and help them in their walk. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's when you look at the the mega churches or whatever you want to call them, the fast growing churches, in whether it's in your community or nationally, I guarantee you, go look up their website, their social media, and I would say 99% of the time, they've got an excellent digital presence. Yes. They are taking that content that they're producing every weekend, right, and they're, you know, chopping it up and making it into social posts and you know, putting it on podcasts and whatever to get people continually digitally engaged. And now, and this is a whole other, you know, kind of soapbox, so I'm not going to get on it for too long, but now I think churches even have to be willing to accept the concept of a digital only, you know, attendee or member or whatever. Like, yeah, there are going to be people who, first of all, maybe they, I'm convinced there are going to be people that are convinced it's never safe to go outside. So they're right, going to be trapped in their house for the rest of their life. And then there's people that, hey, maybe they just, maybe they're distant. Maybe they like your church, but they're not in your area. It doesn't make sense for them to drive to where you're at. Or yeah, maybe they just don't want to. Maybe they would rather go out on the boat on Sundays. And I know in the church world, that's not ideal. I get that. But at the end of the day, what's the mission? Well, it's to engage people. It's to disciple people. And whether you're doing that physically, even though, yeah, I would be a believer that physically is the best environment for it.
Yeah.
I would not go as far to say that it is impossible, maybe slightly more challenging, but not impossible to do it digitally.
Sure.
And so, anyways, a little bit of soapbox, like I said, I get on it from time to time. I'm going to get back off it. But all that to say, your social media and your digital presence here, that's what we're talking about. Taking advantage of that, tapping into it.
Right.
Now, to be clear, to jump back onto the social media for just a second before we move on, what you're talking about, organic social media, right? I mean, by and large, yes, in this step.
Yeah, not paid. Yes, this is all just organic. We're really, for Borough Business Lab, we're just posting literally three posts a week.
Yeah, three posts a week. Yeah. Which, again, I can't get over how fantastic your simplicity is in your marketing. So, okay. So let's move on beyond social media then. Let's hit, step four now?
Yes, step four is email list. So I was never a huge believer in building an email list until my business partner, Jeremy Lee, told me, he explained it to me this way. He said, your email list is your biggest digital asset. Because all of your other digital assets, you're building on platforms that somebody else owns.
Yeah, I've heard it said you're renting.
Yes. Yeah. So Google can de-index you for any reason at any point, and there's no recourse. Mm-hmm. Facebook can shut your feed down because they don't like the color of your logo.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Or because you're the sitting president of the United States.
Exactly.
Oh, did I go there?
I was thinking that. They didn't like the color of his hair.
Yeah.
So you're at their mercy. With email, that is a digital asset that you will always own. And you can always reach out to those people if there is some kind of issue with Google or Facebook or TikTok or Snapchat or whatever. You can just send those people an email and say, hey, we're moving over to this new profile or whatever. Mm-hmm. So email is super important, super important. And I think especially for a church, that emergency communication is so important. I mean, the last 18 months, we would wake up Sunday morning for church and check our email.
Yeah.
And say, are we in person or are we not?
Yeah,
are
yeah.
we digital today? Mm-hmm. Most days it was digital. So that email list is super important. And it's something that even a local business can monetize mm-hmm. if you don't overdo it. Just like social media with, you know, the goofy Shakespearean sonnet.
Yep.
I probably will not use that as an example. So, you know,
yeah, stick to clear and clever. Come
yes,
on.
Clear, exactly.
Or clear,
exactly.
Clear, not clever.
That's yes, clear over clever. So 10% of your emails, limit promotional emails to about 10% of what we do. But emails, very, very important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff there I think is important to understand. Like you said, it is crazy how we're at the mercy, if you will, of just the algorithms, first of all, but
yes.
then just them, you know, I mean, yeah, no joke. I mean, we literally did see, regardless of where you stand on, I mean, like
right.
the sitting president of the United States, he basically had all his social media removed.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Right.
And I mean, if they can do it to him, they can do it to anyone.
Exactly.
Granted, he had a big target on his back, but at the same time, it just shows you how much power they have. And I'm not here to talk about the ethics and the debate of it, but it's a fact,
right,
nonetheless. And the way I've heard it put is that if you want to look at it this way, you know, when it comes to investing, you know, you invest in, you can invest, there's a lot of different brands, but essentially two ways you can invest. You can invest in like real estate, and you can invest in the market.
Yes.
And you know, when you invest in real estate, you're investing into assets that you actually own. And when you're investing in real estate, yeah, you own that, but at the same time, you're at the mercy of those, you know, companies, you know, you're at the mercy of Apple being successful or whatever stock that you've bought.
Right.
And yeah, real estate, sure, the market. The analogy doesn't necessarily cross over perfectly.
Sure.
However, when you're looking at your, you know, your digital world, that email list, yeah, you really do own that. And whereas, but when it comes to these other, you know, social media platforms, you need to diversify.
Yes.
You don't need to have all of your, you know, I don't need to have every, and I know people like that. It's like, man, their entire marketing strategy is Instagram and that's it.
Right. That's,
you know, and it's horrible because again, all it takes is a suspension of your account or just for them to change the algorithms, which Facebook and Google love to do.
Right.
And now, you know, you're essentially, you're screwed.
Yes.
And so, yeah, the email list thing I think is really important for any business. But I've even with churches had to get them to understand, like, look, you've got to do something with email. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about content of emails. What is your, do you have any like advice or suggestion on what type of content is good to send to your list?
Yes.
Like what should, because you said you same thing. You don't want to just be promoting all the time.
Right.
What can you do to provide people value with your email list?
So, similar to your website, the emails that we send out to our clients are basically a digital recap of things that we've done or posted or said or have happened in the previous month. So, you know, here's a picture of the picnic that you're such a fan of.
I love the picnic. I do love good food, so.
Yes, me too. You know, here is a link to the past 2 weeks' sermons. Mm-hmm. You know, the youth group did a thing. Here's a link to their Instagram page where they put all their pictures. Mm-hmm. Just kind of a digital recap. And then people can choose whether or not they want to consume that information. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we put out. And then every now and then we'll put out a promotional thing like, you know, oh, you know, Train AC has a fall special, 0% financing for 6 months, whatever. We can send those out. And because we don't overdo it, and because it's something that people might be interested in, we typically don't have a lot of unsubscribes.
Yeah, sure.
But the way that we do email is we send out one email a month.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask about frequency. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, there's some... that, I mean, I'll get daily emails from, weekly, month, and I've, you know, gone back and forth on, and again, it probably determines like what type of content you're doing. There's probably a lot of factors there, but so you're doing it monthly there. Of course, I would say, you kind of alluded to this already, if you're a church, well, you do have a weekly sermon.
Yeah.
And you're probably pretty harmless in sending a, hey, here's what we, you know, send on Monday or Tuesday. Here's last week's sermon. Probably not going to get a ton of unsubscribes there.
Right.
And there were spam complaints or whatever. But is there, as far as the frequency goes, oh, well, I was going to ask, does this include funnels? Do you do anything with funnels? What's your, as far as automated funnels and things like that?
Sure. So for Borough Business Lab, what we do is we create a lead magnet. That's kind of the first month of what we're doing. We're setting up a lead magnet. And then the second month is integrating it into the email service provider and the website and making sure that all that works. And then as people start to download that, the email list grows. And then we send those emails on a monthly basis. So we're not creating like a segmented funnel per se. And, you know, these are all the service contracts over here. And these are the people that had new installation over here. It's not really like that. It's more kind of a one size fits all. But the whole purpose of it is designed to build our clients' hard asset, which is their, like your example of real estate. It's really that digital asset that they own, that they will always own, that no big company can come in and take that away.
Yeah. And are you, I'm assuming that you're to some extent also using social media to push people to the email list as well.
Yes.
At times, you know, with the appropriate amount of balance there. Like you said, you don't want to every post be about, hey, subscribe to our email list.
Sure.
I'm assuming you're trying to convert that some of that rental property or rented space to actual space that you own there.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, for SEO packages, we create content. One of the social media posts that we'll post on a monthly basis is a link back to the content that we created for the website. So it's all, I really think of it as a digital ecosystem. And, you know, if one is weak, the whole thing won't be super strong, but there's none that's perfect.
Yeah.
So we just try to focus on what's the most important and then grow from there, kind of in a, you know, in a tiered structure.
Because these steps are more or less priorities.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I do have to ask, why did you put maybe social media above email in that priority? You know, because I can see why some would say that needs to be swapped.
Because it takes such a long time to build the email list.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Social media is immediate. Mm-hmm. And I think there's more chance of a higher return on investment from social media than from the email list.
Gotcha.
So the email list is a necessity, but it is a long-term play.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So the email list, I guess we're moving to step five, right?
Yeah. Step five. And it's a good segue because I just started doing emails for a client recently. And the first email that we sent out was a request to their existing email list to leave them a positive review. And so that's number five, is get positive reviews. Google is the priority, and then Facebook, and then Yelp. I'm not even going to go down the Yelp rabbit trail because they're not nice people, but they are necessary. And something I learned fairly recently is that, you know, Apple and Bing don't have a review platform. So if you're one of the 15% of people that uses Safari or Bing as your search engine, and you're using it for local searches, the reviews from Yelp, that's going to be what shows up next to your business. So you do have to get some positive Yelp reviews.
Well, I think when you use the Apple voice assistant, because I don't know if you just heard, but she thought she heard her name and my watch was talking to me.
Right.
So I don't want to say it again, but the Apple voice assistant, I believe there when you say, hey, you know, hey, that person,
right.
You know, find local restaurants. I believe Apple Maps is integrated with the Yelp. Is that correct? Yeah. So that and Apple Maps, because of that Apple voice assistant, is a big one, at least in that mobile world, or iPhone world or whatever. So yeah, I can see why Yelp is important.
Well, we're going to continue the conversation next time. And until then, I want to thank you for joining us for this episode. And I want to give you a reminder to subscribe on YouTube and wherever you're listening to podcasts. You can also check out the episode's description to learn more about featured products and services from Church Media HQ. You can also learn more about the show's guests and content contributors. Now, if you do find this content to be helpful, then help us out by leaving us a 5-star review and sharing this episode with other church leaders like you. Also remember, Church Media HQ, well, we're so much more than our weekly episodes. You can actually access creative resources such as weekly graphics, custom design requests, website setup, creative coaching, and a lot more. And all of this is available for free at churchmediahq.com. Well, until next time, I want to give you our infamous reminder that it's time for you to try something new, because you're going to find that it's so much better to fail trying the incredible than it is to succeed at doing just the average. We'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.